Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia, freshly back from a long Labor Day weekend. And joining me in the studio today is Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great.
Did you labor on Labor Day?
Well, kind of a different story. I went back to Charleston, West Virginia, my hometown. And
You lost the bet?
Had some family affairs to take care of. And even in the best situations, those are always stressful. But we got through it and everything's great.
So what do you do in West Virginia for fun? Horseshoes?
Walk mountainsides. You know, I'm sure I could get some bad mountaineer West Virginia jokes out of this, but Brad usually picks up on that. Joining us
in Texas today
is Brad Culp. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning. Now, I'm wondering if you brought back any moonshine.
See, I knew he'd jump on that.
There was a jug on my desk when I came in here. I guess it must be from Sam.
Okay, well, be careful with that because, you know, it'll burn your throat.
It had X's on the side.
Hey, Brad, how do you know that it burns?
Well, because everybody said so.
He was reading your blog, Sam.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go. I don't think as fast as I'm about that kind of stuff as you do, Lee. Well, we're floating away in Dallas. We've gotten about 6 inches of rain in 12 hours.
Okay.
So we're lucky to have our guests here at all this morning. But before we do that, as you know, we have to have our trivia. With all this rain, it got me thinking about Columbus. No, actually, that's not true. It's a coincidence. Today, actually, in 1892, the Pledge of Allegiance was recited for the first time. So that's our trivia for the day. It was actually written for the 400th anniversary of Columbus Day, which is October 12th, but it was recited for the first time on this day in 1892. And what you might not know is that the Pledge of Allegiance has been changed four times since it was first written. And actually, the last time was 1954, and that's when Under God was added to the Pledge of Allegiance, which is interesting that it wasn't there in the beginning, but was added 62 years later. Anyway, so for your trivia, it's who was president in 1892 when the Pledge of Allegiance was first recited?
Go, Sam.
What's that?
Sam knows.
I don't know.
It was Benjamin Harrison.
Harrison.
That's what I was going to say.
There's absolutely no way to transition that to the show, so I won't try. A great show this morning. We're going to go right into it. We've got Mark Shakero in Atlanta with SG Publishing Regional Caregiver Magazine. And here we're going to start here in Dallas with Renee Stout. Renee is with Halo Medical Service. Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, Brad.
Thanks for being here with us this morning, especially the huge effort it was to get here.
I appreciate a challenge.
Yeah, well, good. So let's just start with the basics. If you could just give us a little background on yourself, where you're from, where you went to school, and how you ended up getting involved in senior services.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. I grew up, was raised, and went to school in Connecticut. That's where I went to Central Connecticut State University. I got my bachelor's degree in marketing and immediately started my marketing career from there. I did move from Connecticut to Dallas back in 1994 for work climate and better opportunities. And with that, I started in manufacturing, sales and marketing, and realized at that point it wasn't the challenge I was looking for. It wasn't as fulfilling as working with people directly. So as time went along, my mother fell ill. I went back to Rhode Island to be with her during her end of life, and I had such a great experience in the skilled nursing facility that she was in that I decided senior living is where I belonged. And I knew nursing wasn't right for me, so I wanted to take it to the next level through sales and marketing. And I applied for a job with a Dallas independent living community as an associate director of sales and marketing. And she enjoyed my attitude and my enthusiasm, and I was offered the job. And that's how my career started in senior living.
Wow. So how long were you taking care of your grandmother?
Well, she fell ill very quickly. She had cancer and we didn't know it. So her timeline went downhill real fast. So she was only in the nursing home for about 3 to 4 weeks before she passed away. So I took care of her to an extent that I helped out the CNAs who were at the community, and I got to know them very well, and I learned a lot about the care. But fortunately, my family didn't have to take care of her in their own home.
Wow. Well, now, we would say that that wouldn't be unfortunate, since that's what we do, but I understand it can be very challenging. That's very interesting. Had you known your grandmother real well growing up?
She's my soulmate.
Wow.
Yep, she was everything to me, and I was very close to her.
Okay. So, so you started out selling, I'm just curious, when you were in the manufacturing environment, what were you selling?
We manufactured air conditioning compressors for vehicles, and Chrysler, Ford, they were some of our largest customers. And I did a lot of the trade shows, I did the communications, and I did demand planning, which is forecasting and number crunching.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so how long did you do that before you realized you were...
I was with that company 11 years.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time. So, okay. And then so your grandmother then passed away.
Mm-hmm.
You came back to Dallas then, and you took the job with the... with this independent living, and you know, tell us a little bit about how that went, how long you were there, and what happened next.
It's one of the larger communities in the Dallas area, and with that said, they were expanding quickly, so I was being trained to take on another community once it was built, whether it be in Dallas or not. And I was with them for over 17 months. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I got to meet a lot of fabulous people. I got to talk to a lot of new residents and get to know them and their families. And as time progressed and the economy kind of spiraled downward, they had to cut their staff. And so I unfortunately was a casualty of that. So I decided that I wanted to continue working in the senior industry. So I took my next position in assisted living so I could learn the different steps of senior living, and learned a great deal through that as well. And definitely different from independent living. So
help us understand a little bit about that. So clearly, obviously, you know, and for our listeners, the difference between independent living and assisted living, and then how was that different from what you were doing previously? I mean, what aspects, dealing with seniors being very different than selling air conditioning compressors? You know, talk a little bit about how it's different and, you know, why you enjoy that.
Well, first and foremost, when you're selling air conditioning compressors, you're on the phone with people. You never really meet them face-to-face. I did a lot of overseas sales. I did customer service for that. And you're working with 1,000 other people in the company, so you don't get to know everybody personally. In senior living, you get to know your team. You get to know everybody who works in your community. You get to know your housekeeping, your nursing staff, your physical therapist, your executive directors. You get to know everyone, and you kind of build a bond together. Whereas in manufacturing, you sit in a cubicle and you work at a desk. In senior living, it's about touching lives and touching people, and I thoroughly enjoyed that much, much more.
Okay. So now today you are at Halo Medical Service. So tell us a little bit about Halo and what you do for them, and, you know, again, what's different about Halo than what you've done previously.
Sure. I have been with Halo for almost a year now. At the end of this month, it will be my one-year anniversary. And it's a very exciting job and a lot of fun. I'm technically the director of business development, but I also control all the marketing as far as first, second, and third shift, because we do run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And with Halo, my job is to build relationships, create new ones, and maintain the ones we already have. So with that, completely different from crunching numbers and entering orders and controlling demand planning and forecasting, with this, it's a new challenge every day, and it's something exciting and something that I enjoy. I enjoy meeting new people. I enjoy helping senior citizens out. So my responsibility to HALO is to generate call volume through building relationships with future customers, continue with past customers, and stay on top of present customers.
Wow. So who give us an example of, well, let me just take a step back and tell us a little bit more about HALO itself as a company. Let's leave it at that.
HALO was created in 2007. We have four owners, three of which were paramedics and EMTs in their career. As far as I understand, a couple of them have continued to keep up their license to run the company. Two of my owners were doing all the marketing before I was on board, and they did a fabulous job. They got to know people. They got the business up and running and sailing down in South Dallas. And my goal was to get the North Dallas up and running, and I've done that. And I've also taken the South Dallas area because that's where I worked in assisted living, so I have a lot of contacts.
Right.
So HALO offers a lot of good things that people need, such as you don't show up to a community with your lights flashing and your sirens blaring. We try to be subtle. We try to make sure that the guests, the patients, the customers are happy and not stressed out. And we don't want to cause a lot of attention to elevate the situation, whatever it might be.
So does HALO do emergency and non-emergency?
Yes. HALO does emergency and non-emergency, yes. We are not tied to the 911 system, but we can do everything that the fire department and EMTs can do for you. We are EMTs and paramedics as well.
So if you're doing emergency service, how would somebody know to contact you? I mean, typically people are dialing 911. So how do you get involved in a situation like that?
Well, our relationships are with nursing and rehabilitation and healthcare centers. More so, and those staff are extremely well-trained in their professions to know the difference between a life-threatening illness or a life-threatening injury that 911 absolutely should be called for. We can be called most generally for things that are of a teeny bit lesser nature that aren't critical at the moment. If it's critical, 911.
Okay.
If it's an emergency that can wait 10 minutes or 15 minutes, however long it takes to get there, then that's something we can do. And with 78 million baby boomers coming up, there's so much health care need out there and not enough services, so that's where the two go well together.
Right. Okay. And how many, you may have said this already, but how many vehicles do you have?
We currently have 9 ambulances.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you staff around the clock? They're available around the clock?
Yep. We are staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Okay, and you mentioned one kind of advantage in terms of arriving, not having your lights and sirens blaring. What are some other advantages that, you know, how would you describe HALO in terms of its differentiators from other services?
HALO is definitely run with the intent of giving the best customer service. We, my owners and myself, fully stand behind our staff, and our staff need to give the highest level of service possible, because building that relationship with that community or with that hospital or with the person in their home is top priority. We want them to trust us, we want them to like us, and we want them to be comfortable with us. We're not looking to go stress them out when this is a
right.
difficult transition as it is. So I think with that said, knowing that we focus on customer service as our number one priority, that separates us.
So how do you ensure that your service is top-notch, you know, with your staff?
Continual training, continuous meetings. We are always listening to our staff, and we always make sure to talk with them. Me especially, I tie into dispatch. They call me. If something unique comes up or an opportunity comes up or somebody calls and is interested in using us, They call me right away. In that moment, I make sure they're on the calendar. I call people. Communication. I think the open communication is what I think helps us run so well.
Okay. I think I know the answer to this, but tell us, you know, why do you do what you do? I mean, what is it that gives you a charge in the business that you're in?
My driving force is helping seniors. I truly feel since the day I set foot at the independent living that seniors in their golden years deserve to be treated as such. I feel like we take a lot of time out for our children, we take a lot of time out for ourselves, but I want seniors to know that we care about them too. So anything I can do to help them or alleviate stress or make their day easier, that totally makes my day and I'm good with it.
And it sounds like that probably also links back to your relationship with your grandmother.
I think so. I think that's where it started.
Yeah. It's just such a common theme for us. Just, you know, virtually every guest we have, it's either a relationship with a grandparent or some kind of volunteering. So it's really interesting to see that it's kind of the same story. And talking about stories, is there in the last year since you've been with HALO, is there any particular story that stands out where you all have been able to help a family or a community?
One particular one is a little more difficult, but yeah, we have on occasion and most recently been the one that people who I have approached for business but they weren't quite ready to sign another contract would call us and say, listen, we have a patient up in Dallas or down in Waxahachie, been there for 3 or 4 hours, can you help us? My dispatcher is on it. He gets right on, he calls his crews, he makes sure that we, you know, make sure that we can fit them into the schedule, but we do everything in our power to help anybody who gives us a call. So one particular, probably not, because I hear about it so frequently, and they're always positive outcomes, so it makes me happy.
Great. Is there any cause that either HALO's involved in or that's near and dear to your heart that you'd want to talk about?
I actually have three of them. HALO is involved in the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Someone in my company has a son with diabetes, so he likes to stay, it's actually one of the owners, and he likes to stay involved. So we donate ambulance to post at events at no charge. Same goes for the Alzheimer's Association, which I had a ball at last year. We went to the walk at the Dallas Zoo. And so we donated our ambulance to that and two EMTs or two paramedics or EMT and paramedic as well. And we post there too. And we do that when opportunity comes. One other group that I've recently joined and I'm extremely proud of is the Five Star Senior Services in Dallas and Collin County. We are doing a food drive for Senior Source, and real excited. I'm in charge of that. So it's going to start September 23rd. It'll end on October 7th, and the wrap-up party will be October 7th at Parsons House in Dallas. So if you're interested in donating food items for senior citizens or other things, look on your Senior Source, their website, or look in your email, and we will be sending invitations out and notices out. So,
very good. Excellent. And we'll try and post that website on our web as well when we post the show. How about a piece of advice for our listeners?
The one thing I've learned in the 3 years that I've been in the senior industry is that people need to do a what-if plan. We know your parents, your loved ones, your aunts, your uncles, we know that they're in great health right now. We know that you think nothing bad will happen to them. But what if something does? My advice is list a care plan for your aging parents, family, friends, and don't be afraid of using community tools that will range from caretaker support groups to moving someone to a community where they can flourish and keep their independence possibly. So one other thing for the younger crew out there, keep in mind long-term care insurance. It is very, very important, and I had to talk to a lot of families who did not plan for it, and it's much, much easier if you plan for long-term care insurance. I plan to have it.
Absolutely. That's good advice. We appreciate you being here today. For our listeners that might want to reach Halo or to learn more about them, how can they contact you?
Thank you so much for having me. And you can reach Halo at www.halomms.com, or you can reach dispatch at 972-228-3555.
All right. Well, thank you again for being here today, Renee. We appreciate it. And hopefully you'll get back to where you go without needing a paddle. We're going to pass it back to you, Sam, in Atlanta.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate it. And, Renee, that's very good information. We certainly appreciate you being our guest today. Thanks. Joining me today in the studios is Mark Shakero. Mark is the CEO and publisher of Atlanta Regional Caregiver Magazine. Mark is also a New Englander, and we welcome you today. How are you?
Sam, I'm doing fine. Lee, thank you for inviting me on the show today.
Why don't you begin, Mark, by telling us a little bit of your background, where you're from. Obviously, you're from New England. How did you get to Atlanta, and how did you come across and be associated with Atlanta Regional Caregiver Magazine?
Well, like Renee, I'm also a New Englander. I'm from Rhode Island, and I work for a printing company there in Rhode Island, as well as in Washington, D.C., Orlando, and then I was transferred here to Atlanta back in 1990, so I've been here for 20 years.
Well, I know we had this conversation. Have you ever done any radio before? Because you have that radio voice.
No, I haven't, and it's very interesting to hear yourself over the headphones.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your magazine and what it is, what the intent of the magazine is, and how does one obtain it?
Our magazine, the Regional Caregiver Magazines, are in three cities, Atlanta, Orlando, and Charlotte. The vision and the purpose of the magazine is to be a resource for caregivers. We found that people become caregivers due to an event. Someone falls and breaks a hip. There's an accident. There's a returning war vet, a child with special needs. And the number one need of caregivers is information. So we're trying to provide information for these people. We try to identify the needs of the caregivers through our articles and then try to meet the needs through our advertisers.
How often are the magazines published?
The magazines are bi-monthly, and the circulation is 10,000 copies. It's a free magazine, and you can find them at pharmacies, supermarkets, clinics, hospitals, a variety of restaurants, antique markets, all sorts of places.
That's interesting. Let's take a step back, and let's give our listening audience some information about your past history, your publishing, and your experiences there.
Okay. Well, I've been in the printing and publishing industry for over 30 years, and I started out in printing and then moved into publishing. My creative director, Joanne Pauly, worked for an educational publisher in Orlando, and she was actually one of my customers. And we got together and we formed Vinings Publishing back in about 96, and then recently we formed SG Publishing and came out with the Caregiver Magazine. Joanne actually was the one that came up with the idea for it. She was talking to a friend who had just lost his mother, and he had been caregiving for this woman, for his mother, for 3 years. And he was complaining or telling Joanne that, gee, there's no place to go for information. I didn't know what to do. I was unprepared. Wouldn't it be nice if there was some kind of a resource out there?
That's a great, great story. For our listeners, and I think you mentioned this, and I'm sorry if you did, it went over my head. How can they obtain where can they obtain the magazine?
Okay, our magazines are at various pharmacies around Atlanta, Orlando, and Charlotte. They're in different hospitals. You'll find them at the VA hospital in the waiting rooms of Piedmont Hospital in Northside here in the city. You'll find them at doctor's offices, at clinics. And one of my favorite stories is I had a call one day from a lady, and she sounded like she was pretty old, and she said, "My husband brought home your magazine. It's wonderful. The articles are great. The advertising is good. It's very important to us. But he forgot where he picked it up." Mm-hmm. So we said, "Fine, we'll mail one to you." So we have a subscription list as well.
Okay. I know that we were speaking earlier that you have some numbers and statistics. So let me begin or ask this question. Why is it why do you have this magazine? And I would suspect you'll support why with those numbers.
Well, we found out that there was a need for this. My parents are in their mid-80s, and while they're healthy and independent right now, it may not always be that way. I remember growing up when my grandmother had fallen and broken a hip and ended up coming to live with us. Couldn't live at home with my grandfather. They were too old. So there is a need for this type of information, and we want to be a portal of information that people can go to and make it easy for them to start in searching and get this information.
We were talking earlier, Mark, and you threw out some numbers about the number of caregivers today and the projected number of caregivers in the future.
There are in excess of 50 million caregivers today, and that's expected to increase by at least 85% by 2050. So with all the boomers coming down the pike, and it's just a phenomenal number of people. Also, two-thirds of the caregivers are caring for someone over the age of 50. So there's still one-third, or 30-some-odd million people that are going to be under 50, and they're going to need help as well.
It brings to mind two issues. First, I'd like to make a statement that Brad, it's a statistic that he uses quite often, that today in the circle of acquaintances, there are 11 caregivers available for one individual. That's projected in the next, and I don't know the exact date, but something like 10 to 15 years to move from 11 to 4 potential caregivers within a circle of influence.
Why is that?
Well, again, because I believe there's so many people moving into that age group, and therefore the numbers become diluted. The need's going to be greater.
But is it also because the people don't live in the same area as their...
Oh, absolutely. I think lifestyle, it's funny.
Well, we were talking about that earlier, yeah, where the trends we're going to see in the future, going back to the old days where you had more than one generation living under the same roof. And I just read an article that said in the next few years you're going to see perhaps three generations under one roof, which brings up another story that I was telling Sam earlier. My folks have a good friend who is a widow, and she's the younger one. She's only 84, my mother says. Mm-hmm. And she has children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren always in her house. Well, no one was home one day, and she was out back and fell, broke some ribs, and was on the ground for 2 hours before anyone came. So even though she did have people coming through, living alone and such, it's going to become even more important to have the caregiving and people around.
Mark, in relation to that story, give our listening audience a mechanism that particular story might have been avoided if they'd had the right situation.
Right. We have one of our sponsors, one of our advertisers, is an alarm monitoring company. And they talk about, you know, the fallen and I can't get up radio or whatever. And they have wristwatches, and they have the ones you can put around your neck that in case there's an emergency, you push it and the emergency is called and the ambulance comes. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to get those for your parents or grandparents before it's needed. If you wait until an instance like this, it's too late. If she had something like that on, she could have pushed the button and the ambulance would have been there much quicker than 2 hours.
Yeah, and when you told me that, I concur. I certainly support what you're saying. But I think what we have to do, we have to come over the stigma of losing freedom by such devices. And that's not true. That's not true at all.
It isn't. It's actually keeping you independent.
Absolutely.
And one of the things you want to do is to help your parents and grandparents grow older with dignity and independence. We talked earlier about some tough issues that we're going to be talking about in the magazine. For instance, when do you take away your father's car keys? That's a huge taking away some independence right there and freedom. But there are ways to deal with that so that they don't feel threatened by that. And they say, yes, you're right, it is time. So there are some very tough issues. And the lady falling in her backyard, by giving that story in our magazine, people look at it and say, you know, that could happen at our house too. Instead of just seeing the article or the advertisement, I mean, they read the article and they think about it a little bit more and say, maybe I really should get that from mom and dad.
Absolutely. You know, your magazine and this show are two peas in the same pod, so to speak. We were speaking that there is a wealth of information out there for seniors,
yes,
for their children.
The problem is compiling it, obtaining it, deciphering through all the gobbledygook to get to the information.
Exactly. For instance, you need a handlebar in the bathroom next to the toilet. Well, you want to make sure that you find someone that's CAP certified, which is a certified aging-in-place handyman. He knows how to attach it to the wall so that when you go to get up, if you grab it and it pulls out, you're going to be even more trouble than you were before. But if you didn't know that there was such a thing as a CAP-certified handyman, you wouldn't know to ask for it.
That's exactly right. Tell us a little bit, let's go back to the caregiver magazines. Certainly there's got to be other sources of information. What makes yours unique? Why do you feel that yours is the place to come to?
Well, two things. One, we deal with seniors. They're the largest part of our market. But we're also talking about returning war vets, people who have accidents, or children with special needs. Just a quick story there. A good friend of mine, 60 years old, I took him to the airport before Thanksgiving to go to California to visit friends for the holidays. On Christmas Day, he went bike riding, fell down, broke 6 ribs in his collarbone. He couldn't come home for 2 months, because he didn't live with anyone. He didn't have someone to take care of him. He needed caregiving on a temporary basis, and my wife and I cooked for him, went over and opened bottles of water and jars because he couldn't grip it to do that, made his bed, did things like that for him. So we're hitting not just seniors but a wider range. The other thing is that we're trying to provide local resources for people. So if you need this CAP-certified handyman to put a ramp in because your dad just came home in a wheelchair, you want someone that's around the corner, not someone in St. Louis if you live in Atlanta. So we want to provide local resources as well as regional, which would be a hospital, and, of course, our national people that will be advertising with us.
And I can't resist it. You opened the door. I'm going to take the opportunity when you were speaking of your friend who fell and couldn't come home because he had no one here. That's exactly what we at Griswold Special Care do. We provide caregivers out in the home that would allow this individual, in the case that you mentioned, to come home and be home sooner and be home safely.
It's something else that came up there, and that was traveling. And at the holidays, my folks came down, and we were concerned about getting my mother in a wheelchair from the curb to the gate. Well, we found out that there were things available at the airlines, but if you didn't know to ask for them, you wouldn't go. So instead of saying, well, we're not going to take that trip because we don't know what's going to happen, my folks now wouldn't hesitate to fly again. And my friend coming back from California, he was in great shape. We go to the gym together. He wasn't aware of these things either. He said, gee, you think they could get a wheelchair for me? I said, absolutely. So these things are available out there if you know to ask for them. And we're trying to bring these things to light to people.
And you know, Mark, obviously, with the energy and enthusiasm that you speak of to the topic, it's clear that you enjoy it. What is it that you enjoy the most about what you do? What recharges your batteries?
Well, when you hear comments from our readers, they call up and they say, gee, you really helped me on that, and I didn't know I needed that. Or we did some work with the Alzheimer's Association, and we just interviewed a couple for a future issue, and they've been married for 62 years. And we go out and we talk to them and find out what the challenges be to the husband, mm-hmm. because the wife has Alzheimer's. And he says, if you can share our story with people, we would like that. We did a family with a 4-year-old daughter with cerebral palsy. They have a 6-year-old son who's great, and the little girl, it just melts your heart. Mm-hmm. But the parents said, we want to share what we went through. The little girl thinks she's fine, but it's the parents that we want to help share other parents in the same situation to help them get through it and learn from our experience. I look at that, we're doing something good, and that's wonderful. And as I said, my wife is a physical therapist and mm-hmm. works for a home health care agency. And she comes home with stories about that all the time. And just not only are we publishing a magazine, we're actually doing something good for people.
And let me take the opportunity to expand on that. Your wife works for visiting nurses, is that correct?
She does. She works for visiting nurses.
We're not bashful about name dropping, so that's good.
And visiting nurse, actually, they take a number of our magazines every issue, and they put them into their welcome kits. So we're getting them distributed right into the house there. So that they've been very good about that.
Now, in the magazine, what is the kind of like what kind of content do you have in there? Is it just ads for services, or is there editorial content?
There are editorial content. We have a Ask Hillary, our friend of ours, Hillary Abrams, who works for Companion Care. She wrote a book on aging parents, and she answers questions from readers. We also have articles on families, on specific topics. There was an article on mobility that we deal with, which is a major topic for caregivers and so on. So we try to address different issues, and we have advertisers write articles for us. We have professionals in the industry that write articles for us, and we do interviews.
I know that the most recent publication, the June-July of 2010 here in Atlanta, speaks specifically of a group that I like to give recognition to whenever possible. Won't you speak to that?
Right. The last issue we highlighted veterans, and Max Cleland, an ex-senator from Georgia, who's a Vietnam vet. We did an interview with Max, and Max himself was a caregiver for his father, which is an amazing
story. Exactly. Think about that, listeners.
That's just amazing. And then previous, we had Senator Johnny Isaacson, who wrote an article on health care and what's coming down the pike for us. So we go out and we try to find people that have something to add to the magazine.
So is there any tips on what's coming down the pike?
The next issue is going to be on families with special need children. And after that, we'll be doing our Alzheimer's edition. And then we also do a piece on coping with the holidays. The holidays can be very stressful for caregivers. So we're going to be talking about that.
That's great, great information. I'm going to give you an opportunity, you personally and or Caregiver Magazines, to speak to a cause that might be dear to your heart. Is there any special cause that you'd like to bring recognition to?
Well, we've done work with the Alzheimer's Association, the MS Society, Parkinson's, and the Children's Hospital of Atlanta here. We did some interviews with them, and they're all just wonderful, wonderful people.
For our listeners, coming up in early October is the Memory Walk for the Alzheimer's Association. Just want to bring that to everyone's attention. And we will be doing a show, I believe, in 2 weeks from today, specifically dedicated to that walk and that cause. For our listening audience, Mark, obviously you've had a lot of experience with the seniors and people my age who might have parents that are seniors. Is there a piece of advice that you might give them to help them start this process?
Well, I agree with Renee, and that is to prepare. People become caregivers, as I said earlier, because of an event. Something happens, and we don't think about it. We're not prepared, and we don't know what we need sometimes. So talk to friends, and hopefully through our magazine, that we can bring to light some possible issues that are coming down the pike. And whether it be financial planning, whether it be getting your will and such in order, funeral arrangements, as my father said, you're trying to get rid of us. And I said, no, but let's plan it. Those are tough questions, but things to prepare for, to find out about mobility and transportation and things like the alarms and long-term care insurance, as Renee talked about. Those things are very, very important to start thinking about now.
Well, been involved with your magazine and read your magazine. And for our listeners, once again, there's a wealth of information available. And I think the Atlanta Regional Caregiver Magazine is a great source of compiling that information for you.
And you can also see it on the Internet.
Okay.
You can see the virtual magazine at www.sgcaregiver.com. And you can see each magazine for each of the three cities. And our plans are to expand across the country. So if anyone out there is interested in helping us out or looking for a part-time position that would be interested in ad sales, please contact us through the website.
I don't know if you would like, but would you like to give out any telephone numbers how individuals could reach you?
They can reach me at 404-683-7776. 404-683-7776. 7776.
Well, Mark, I certainly appreciate it. Again, off air, we had a conversation about how your magazine and our radio show can kind of team together. I look forward to developing that, and thank you for being our guest today.
Thank you, Sam.
Well, that's it for today. We certainly want to thank our listeners for joining us and listening. We want to thank both our guests, Renee and Mark, for being in the studios today. And remember, for our listeners, if you'd like to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, you can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of our nation is its greatest national treasure. That's it for today. God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.